Hello. Thank you for joining us for our annual benchmarking webinar. We're going to get started here in a moment. As we wait for a few other individuals to join us, please go ahead and locate the Q&A button within the Zoom session, and we'll be with you in one moment. Welcome again. Thank you to everyone for joining us today. My name is Allison Colasso, and I'm excited to welcome you to our Benchmarking Relief webinar. Today, we'll be looking through the annual insights and trends of relief that we delivered over the last year. To get started, we'd love to have you participate in a quick poll. This is just to see who did some of the advanced reading earlier this week with our CEO letter that should have hit your inboxes. In 2023, E4E Relief awarded how many dollars, excuse me, in emergency financial relief grants? There should be a poll appearing on your screen. Go ahead and make a selection out of those four options. All right, let's see who did the unassigned homework. Well, it looks like some people did read ahead. $27 million was awarded last year through all of our programs at E4E Relief. Now, to set the stage, as I mentioned, today we will be looking at the 2023 relief that was delivered around the world through all of our programs. We'll then be hearing from our Chief Product Officer, Courtney Ramey, who will talk with us about the impact of the relief that's being delivered. Finally, what we will all be looking forward to is how we can apply this information into the work that we do together in 2024. We'll close out by sharing a few reminders about events that are upcoming. Now, for those who have been with us before, this should look familiar, but we always like to remind you that there is a Q&A section on the Zoom room. You can go ahead and submit questions at any time there, or even share some thoughts in the chat. We will also be sharing a recap email, which will include a recording of this conversation. Finally, in that recap email, there is a survey. We always appreciate your feedback and hope that you'll take just a couple of minutes to share thoughts, ideas for future webinars, and general thoughts on your program. Now, let's jump into the 2023 relief. We wanted to start by offering a poignant reminder from Booker T. Washington. These are timeless words, and it helps us remember that happiness is probably not only found in the pursuit of one's own interests, but in the selfless acts of helping others. Your work each day is emblematic of how we can find fulfillment, yes, by supporting important missions like these funds, but moreover, by nurturing programs that have profound impacts on individuals and the world around us. Now, as we kick off, I'd love for you to join me in watching a brief video about the relief delivered last year. Thank you. as demonstrated in that video, 2023 was a year of immense impact around the world. We saw over 16,000 grants awarded. We saw an average grant across all event types of $1,630. Relief was delivered to 43 countries, and over 2,000 of the applications were delivered outside of the US. This all totaled $27 million. What those numbers mean by event type may be very interesting to you. We see 2023 as a true baseline year for us. For the first time in 4 years, we did not have immense COVID relief or infectious disease awards granted. In fact, by May 2023, with the US presidential declaration of emergency ending, we saw very little relief granted directly for COVID needs. We saw, in fact, $139,000, just 0.5% of our relief delivered through this level of programming. Instead, what was so impactful was that we saw many of our programs grow beyond just COVID relief and including more hardship events. As you can see from this graph, that left nearly 58% of the relief delivered coming in the form of hardship grants. The remaining nearly 42% was delivered related to natural disaster events. Let's take a look at this more specifically about relief over the last 5 years. Again, we've taken out COVID here because while it had a profound impact on many of your programs, we really want to demonstrate the lasting importance of supporting not only disaster events, but also hardship events. As you can see, over the last 5 years, three of the five key events have been natural disasters, being hurricane, followed by floods and typhoons. But then unexpected medical condition and spouse partner loss of income remain two of the most utilized hardship events. Each of these events is consistently sought by applicants year over year. Now, let's drill into the top five events of 2023. What I'd love to call your attention to is, not surprisingly, there was a great volume of need requested around hurricanes and wildfires last year, but we saw a lot of need around domestic abuse and violence, spouse partner loss of income, and unexpected medical condition. The remaining 44.6% of our relief was delivered across all other events, of course, but these five comprised over 55% of the requests. These are hard topics to talk about, and we don't like to think that individuals are facing these circumstances, but isn't it wonderful to know that your program is there to help them? As you're hearing these numbers, if your program isn't offering these events, please let us know and we'd be happy to talk with you about adding them. Drilling a bit more at the category level, we saw an average grant of $1,032 delivered for disaster awards in 2023, while hardships were $2,841. For those of you familiar with these report outs from us, you will note that these are increases year over year. We attribute this to rising costs of general need across the world, but we also know that the hardship events that we saw over the last year, which will be discussed later in this conversation, really focused around complex humanitarian emergency needs related to conflicts around the world, and then death events. These are, again, topics that are not easy to discuss, but the programs were there and provided the need as people demonstrated it. Noting some of the events just mentioned, the application volume last year ties most directly to four major events. The chart here, January and February, we see a bit of an uptick, and then again in August, September, and October. Otherwise, you see that our average rate of applications really mirrors what we see outside of disaster seasons. So as noted, February brought the Turkey-Syria earthquake. This was a devastating and unexpected event, and many of your programs had individuals in that region who needed relief. We were thrilled to be able to quickly activate and help deliver both evacuation and long-term grants. Then in August, once again, a very unexpected event, you had the Lahaina wildfires, where we saw countless individuals unexpectedly lose their homes and their communities. We were very, very honored to be able to work with many of our programs, delivering relief to over 2,000 individuals, totaling more than $2 million. As we start this year, 2024, we all are hearing about the fires in Texas, though fortunate to hear that there's not as much impact on the human life and communities in those areas, we all realize that rebuilding after events like this are incredibly difficult. Please, if you do know of any individuals or stakeholders who may be eligible for your program who are experiencing impact from events such as this, have them reach out. Please let us know and know that we are prepared to deliver relief as your program allows. Then in September, there was Hurricane Idalia, which impacted the state of Florida. Though the hurricane season itself did not impact as much land and communities as was projected, this hurricane still left us helping over 6,000 individuals who were displaced and needed either evacuation support or long-term relief. Finally, in October, the Israeli-Hamas conflict left us also helping with an international conflict that continues to produce need across your programs. As some final data points for you to consider, we draw out for you some comparisons based on company size. If your program helps either less than 10,000 individuals, between 10 and 50,000 individuals, or more than 50,000 individuals, you can locate and compare yourself, your program in this chart. What we'd first draw your attention to is the number of grants that was awarded by you and your peer organizations. We then, in the second row, offer you a comparison of what that grant amount by number is based on the total grants that we awarded. Some of this should really jive for you as a company size. The more individuals you have, the more applications and therefore awards you might grant. What I would like to call out, though, is that at our companies that have less than 10,000 individuals who participate, we actually see high utilization rates. We see that individuals, by receiving awards, actually end up helping to grow the awareness of the program organically as they consider the impact that the program had on them and talk with their colleagues, not only about the potential of receiving a grant, but also supporting it as a donor. We then also draw out for you the average grants by these company sizes. And finally, draw your attention to the fact that regardless of company size, there may still be an international footprint of individuals who are eligible. So you'll notice again the number of countries that were helped within these categories. Before I move along to see if there are any questions, we wanted to share a testimonial from one of our grant recipients. "This grant meant so much to me. My husband and I have been very stressed out and worried. Not only did this help my mental health, but it put food on the table for my children. I am forever grateful. Thank you for offering this to employees." I know I've offered you a lot of data points, and there's still more to come. I'll take a quick pause here to see if we are seeing any questions. That's not a pressure, but it's a plant that even if you don't have one now, hopefully you'll share your thoughts with us before the end. All right, being mindful of time, I don't see any questions yet. So I'm going to move along to the impact of relief and ask my colleague, Courtney Ramey, our Chief Product Officer, to join me. I want to pause and ask you to reset your thinking. Picture a place where your actions have the power to ignite a spark within others, and where that spark drives their desire to help others and contribute back to their broader communities. By the estimation of John Quincy Adams here, this is the essence of true leadership. We see you as leaders within your organizations who are driving awareness and support around their relief funds. Courtney, we are all excited to hear more about the ripple effect this work has on individuals, organizations, and our communities. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Allison. I'm so excited to be here today and to share about one of my favorite topics, the impact of emergency financial relief. I thought we should ground our conversation in the Impact Stack framework, this picture you see over on the left-hand side. It's our holistic way to discuss the significance of the work that we're all a part of offering. You may remember from seeing this before that the inside of the framework relays the crisis conditions that we're seeing that frankly drive the need for emergency financial relief. We'll talk through each of those trends and touch on how they're impacting your workforce and other key stakeholders in your organization. And then we'll move to the outer ring, which shows the interconnected relationship between the well-being of an individual and how that relates to their ability to show up at work and within their communities. I'll share our latest research measuring the social impact, the business impact, as well as the global impact of emergency financial relief. And then we'll see if there's a few minutes for questions. So we'll start with the macro trend of climate change. There's a lot of data in this space and no shortage of firsthand experiences. But we think of climate change as a condition that refers to the long-term shift in temperatures and weather patterns. And the punchline is that the severity and frequency of disasters is causing a higher number of individuals to be displaced and impacted. It no longer feels like there are certain communities who are shielded from the impact of climate disaster. And this leads our workforces and key stakeholders to worry more about the possibility of disaster striking. Let's look at the next macro trend. Next is geopolitics. And what we define that as is how geography affects politics and international relations. The current threats you see listed here have an increasing impact on trade, safety, stability globally. And we all understand that individuals in our workforce and key stakeholders are impacted by what's happening outside of the workplace, as well as inside of the workplace. And the next macro trend, flying through these to get to the fun part, is here, the third macro trend that we track and measure is the economic factors we see impacting individuals. This includes economic growth, unemployment, inflation, interest and exchange rates, and commodity prices. These affect discretionary income and purchasing power within the household and organizations alike. We all feel this every time we go to the grocery store. But as we look at the realities of 2024, there's lots of great data on here. You can feel free to pull as needed. But we see that with the global economic slowdown, the rising food insecurity, persistent poverty in developing countries, elevated inequality, especially around key issues like affordable housing and financial vulnerability for many working families unable to overcome an emergency situation, which quite often requires significant extra dollars. Okay, so here's the fun part where we want to look at the outer ring. So we know that these crisis conditions exist. They're all on the rise and they create the chance for your workforce and key stakeholders to have an unexpected crisis situation arise that creates financial instability. So on the outside, when we look at those stakeholders and how they're interrelated, I want to share with you the top line summary of all the results we've received across all of our clients and talk about them in these three different categories. So I'll start with individual social impact. If we have one, there we go. The two key metrics that we measure and outcomes that we measure and you have available to you on your dashboard, if you have enough results, are regaining financial stability or financial well-being and improving mental well-being or emotional well-being. And the research we are doing is based on direct survey primary research with grant award recipients. And we're very pleased to say, if you'll click a couple more times, and share that on aggregate, based on over 10,000 responses, 82% of grant recipients have said that this grant helped them to regain financial stability, and 53% say that it helped improve their mental well-being. This is direct impact and on the social side that we should all be very proud of. Now, we'll also look at the economic or business impact, because each of your organizations is investing significantly in this program, and there is a benefit to it that we want to talk about, capture, and help help you share to support the sustainability of the program. And the three things we've chosen to measure here are increasing engagement, desiring retention, that grant award recipients desire to continue to work at your organization, and maintaining productivity. And I like to talk about this one, as we all know, when you experience some sort of crisis in your life, it's like the blinders come on and you can only focus on the kind of basics, necessities of life. And so by releasing one of the major constraints of financial stability, you're able to be productive. At least that's our hypothesis. So we were very glad to see, if we can click three times, please, the results in aggregate, again, of our research show that there's a 50% increase in engagement from a grant award recipient, 72% desire for retention, and loyalty is built in there, and 73% are able to maintain their productivity through this crisis situation, thanks to the relief grant. And then last but not least, I don't have specific percentages to share here, but wanted to touch on and talk about the sustainable global impact portion of the framework. We've tied it here to the UN Sustainable Development Goals, and we know that a number of your organizations are looking at this as well as a way to connect the efforts your organization is doing around ESG to a broader framework. So again, while I don't have specific percentages to share or a way to highlight that, I would encourage you to look at these four areas that are circled here in a black, the black highlight, to recognize that these four areas we believe are strongly impacted by emergency financial relief. And if your organization is using this structure already, maybe we could help brainstorm ways to tie in or add additional value to the fact that you have this program in place and it's contributing to the global impact that your organization is providing. Okay, so that's the summary. You can always find those summary high-level data points on aggregate on our website. We update that data quarterly, so you'll see it change periodically, but you can get the top line numbers. And then this should look somewhat familiar from your dashboard. You can always get the numbers specific to your program from your client dashboard. And what I wanted to do here was highlight some insights that we've pulled from the dashboard looking at it in aggregate, and encourage you to go to your dashboard and pull these same, use these same filters and see what you see there. And I also want to make sure that I'm providing you with an open invitation to reach out and brainstorm with me or someone on the product team to talk about what you're seeing, what you're looking at with this data, and how you might use it internally. It will help us continue to enhance and make the product better. And it's just a lot of fun, because the outcomes and impact of this work is truly transformational and something that we like to talk about. So you'll see the first bar here around financial well-being. We've put on the filter to just select natural disaster events. And when you look again in aggregate, the blue bar, which is just natural disaster events, is 3.4% more likely to regain financial stability. So that grant award recipient is 3.4% more likely to say that the grant helped them regain their financial stability when the event is a natural disaster event. The second one here is using the filter of selecting hardship events. And we notice that there's 5.4% more likely to say that the grant helped them improve their mental well-being if it's a hardship event. And this is something that I think is pretty interesting and significant, especially if your program maybe just covers disasters and yet you're focused heavily on mental health and well-being within your organization. Potentially adding hardship events would be a way to help support that goal around mental health and well-being. We see lots of clients leaning in and making that decision these days. And then the last one, another interesting data point, is actually across the board, when we look at the international responses, across the board are higher than the US-based responses. But we highlighted productivity specifically here because it was such a big difference, is 12.5% higher responded that the grant helped their productivity with the workforce outside of the US. So this is something where if your organization has a workforce outside of the US that aren't participating in the Emergency Financial Relief Program, this is some data potentially to help you make the case for why that would make sense internally. And then other ways we see organizations using the data in their Impact Stack tab of their dashboard is for ESG reporting. It is investor grade data. We feel very confident in our methodology around it and are happy to share that in more detail. It can be used in defining the return on investment or the value in having the program for the business from a C-suite decisioning perspective. And again, I'll sort of have an open offer to have a conversation with you or anyone in your ESG reporting organization about how this data might be beneficial to your company more broadly. So I think I'll wrap it up there and see if there are any other questions.
Gosh, Courtney, you covered so much. Thank you. As you were talking, I was taking notes, and I can only imagine that our audience was as well. I do see one question right now, and I think you touched on it as you were closing out your session, but inquiring minds are asking where we're seeing the information being used internally and externally. I know you just mentioned ESG reports, but are there any other nuggets of application that you could share related to this data?
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a good question. I'm thinking of some of our clients that I've had the chance to speak with in this topic. And one organization used it for fundraising. So they used some of the data to take to their executive teams as a challenge for making contributions into the program. Thought that was a great idea. Others are using it on internal scorecards, metrics maybe around the CSR space, or using it in newsletters to share the value of the program. So those are some examples that I can think of off the top of my head that are how organizations are using it. We look forward to organizations using it in more ways and want to hear how you're using it.
That's so helpful. I hope that you'll invite me to join any of the calls that people request with you, because I always love hearing this information. Courtney will be back at the end of the webinar for any additional questions you might have. In the meantime, we do want to get you some information about benchmarking. Really, we want you to think about this as an analysis of how your program functioned in 2023 and what that might mean for 2024. I see this quote as the original take, if you will, on teaching a person to fish. I think as we share Benjamin Franklin's words, it may seem that they encapsulate the power of experimental learning by highlighting the transformative power of active engagement and creating a breadth of awareness. As we jump into this analysis of what 2024 could look like for your program, I hope we can establish a baseline of awareness so that we can all move forward ensuring that the relief you want to deliver is getting to those who need it. Some of you have seen this data before, but it still is worth mentioning again. What is the state of the American workforce, and how can we draw this more broadly into the global workforce? It's probably not hard for you to imagine that 63% of individuals in the workforce are living paycheck to paycheck. 41% report that they have no emergency fund or safety net. The work that you are doing, the funds you have set up, the partnership we have, is a way to help individuals, the 57% who might be impacted by an unexpected emergency $1,000 expense, help them feel a bit more secure. We also want you to think about ways that the program that you have right now might be able to expand, might be able to grow, might be able to become more known to your population who needs this level of support. To that end, in 2024, we look forward to focusing on how we can expand your program offerings. We're doing some of this by updating events that we currently have. You heard about some of these new events when we met at the end of January or the beginning of February. Time's escaping me these days. But we introduced to you the ideas of a heat wave, which can be added as a disaster to your program, the idea of the housing crisis hardship event, mental health and well-being hardship event, and an event that will be something that is situational, that we're calling a workplace disruption, that we'll be able to talk with you about later in 2024. Other ways that you can immediately impact your program is by reviewing the eligible stakeholders. Do you have individuals in the US and around the world who are included as eligible in your program? Might you be able to broaden the relationship types that are eligible in your program? We had one individual recently ask us, can I add contractors? Another inquired about adding retirees. If you're trying to think about the members of your population who may be experiencing some of the hardships we've been discussing, those are some ideas that we could explore with you. Courtney just took some time and shared with us the impact that we are seeing the relief having on individuals who receive grants. She shared that there's an increase of 5.4% of individuals who receive relief saying that it was helping their mental well-being. For that reason, as well as the figures in front of you on the screen, 76% of the US workers reporting that they have at least one symptom of a mental health condition. This knowledge that it no longer feels taboo to talk about our mental health and our well-being. We've introduced a new event which can be added to your program with a quick conversation with your relationship manager so that we can help you show up when your employees are having moments that require not so much the continued support, but this unexpected one-time mental health challenge that can be supported through your relief program. We do look forward to adding this and helping your employees on these levels. Now, with those ideas in mind, let's talk about benchmarking. As we consider the data that's available to you, we want to take a quick step through your dashboard. I know some of you are super users and others know it's a great tool, but might forget to use it at times. Let's take a look first at the fund snapshot. Now, if I were meeting with a leader from Skynet Relief Fund, the first thing I draw to their attention is your current balance. With money in the fund, you are able to deliver relief. If you need to know how to send money to the fund, we can help you with that. This is an important driver to know just how much available funding and fund sustainability you have over the course of maybe a month, a 2 month. We can talk to you about your run rates as well. Next, I would take Skynet over to the applications overview. There's some great data here, and it really allows you to drive in and see what level of need is being requested. Is it maybe not what we would term as disaster season? Remember, that typically starts June 1st. And instead, it's been throughout the year, and you really want to see the hardship needs that are being requested. Maybe you also want to get a sense of what your average grant is and come back to this presentation and compare it to some of the numbers. Remember, over $1,000 for a disaster grant and over $2,800 for a hardship grant. Just because those are the averages across our programs, that doesn't mean that that needs to be what you're awarding, but it will help you understand the level of need that we're seeing demonstrated across that portfolio. You'll also be able to drive in to that application progress throughout the year. Again, come back and take a look at the first part of this webinar and see what that trend looked like over 2023. What can you expect for utilization in the new year? Now, this word utilization, of course, means that people may be receiving awards and that your balance may be dipping. While you can always make a contribution directly from your company, we also would drive you to look at the dashboard that contains donation information. Here, you'll be able to see not only data related to donations that come in through your portal from individuals, but also if you partner with an organization such as Benevity, where there's payroll deductions coming through their system and being deposited into your relief fund. Those will be reflected here. All of this is intended to be a reminder, both that we have a fundraising webinar coming up in October, but also that throughout the year, you can be raising awareness, not just for application, but for donor engagement. If you ever have any questions, we're happy to talk through ideas for generating campaigns that would engage your workforce. Finally, a screen that I would encourage you to take a look at was just addressed by Courtney. This is your Impact Stack Insights. Now, she did mention that you need to have enough data to have this graph surface. What that means is that you need to have had at least 5 applicants respond to the voluntary survey that is sent 45 days after they're notified of their grant. If you have any questions about this, not only is there the opportunity to talk with Courtney, but we also would be happy to walk you through the dashboard in an upcoming call. Speaking of ways that you can find information, we want to make sure you're all aware of our online resource page. Introduced at the end of summer last year, we have developed a page where you can come and find useful tools that we are often asked for, whether it's our asset delivery instructions or a guide about how to present or prepare a proxy application. We also have some templates designed by our team that are around program flyers or even templated communications you could send during a disaster. This page is not intended to be shared broadly, but as our partner, it is intended to be a resource for you related to your program. There's also a section on here specific to disasters. You'll find a table where you can see disasters, including important dates for applying related to evacuation and long-term deadlines. Of course, if you have any questions, these faces should be familiar to you all. Along with the customer success team, it is truly a pleasure and a privilege to answer your questions, help your applicants, and strategize around your program. Please don't lose our numbers, but as you're on your dashboard and reviewing the resource page, also remember there is an online ticketing system where you can go ahead and submit any questions that you might have. Once again, we're still here for you, but if you are on the portal and looking at the dashboard and quickly think of something, know that that tool is available to you on the dashboard, on the portal as well. Though this is not the majority, well, this is the majority of the information we have to share today. There are a few more important points we want to make, but first we want to invite Courtney back on screen so that we can see what additional questions we can answer. Hi again, Courtney. All right. Well, I'm reviewing both the chat and the QA section, it's wonderful that people are keeping these very channeled, excuse me, because the Q&A section has some great questions for us. First off, Courtney, I'm going to go ahead and take this one if you don't mind, but somebody's asked about the peak application season, and I'm going to take that on, though you could probably dive into disaster season, of course, but we really see that as programs continue to add hardship events to their programs, the peak season is more a consistent season of applications coming in throughout the year for these hardship events. Then, of course, come a disaster season, usually August to October, if there are named hurricanes that impact actual communities, we will see a peak then. You could also say that we're seeing these peaks at unexpected times, whether it's the conflict in Ukraine a couple of years ago, the Israel-Hamas war in October. We even are starting to see some questions around conflicts that are staying in the news, such as Haiti, as recently as this week. So we would ask you to think, yes, in terms of peak seasons related to disasters, but think of relief as something that's being delivered all year long. Courtney, somebody else is asking about other training or information sharing opportunities that E4E Relief has. I know we're going to share a roadmap image here in a few moments, but you've also been out there talking and attending conferences. Do you mind speaking a little bit about any events that we're involved with?
Sure, absolutely. Well, we try to be out and about, as Allison referenced. You'll see shortly some of the places that we will be, and we hope to see you there. We also have this series throughout the year of client webinars where we really have a specific message to clients, which is wonderful. And we look forward to continuing this and looking for opportunities where groups may want to come together and have conversations more in a roundtable kind of context. So we're open to those as well.
Thank you, Courtney. Sorry, it's hard for me to read and announce a question, but I think I'm gathering the gist of this one. Somebody has gone ahead and asked if we do have ways of helping, assisting companies with their communications around supporting the fund in addition to applying to the fund. I think Courtney and I can tag team this question. Courtney works incredibly closely with our marketing and communications team here at E4E Relief. As mentioned, the resource page does have some templates that you could use. Courtney, any thoughts? I know we've talked about it here together, about communicating with regions or individuals when disasters strike.
Absolutely. We're trying to figure out, is it unique by company? Because depending on whether or not you have a partner with a giving platform and you do how you handle matching gifts and other things, sometimes campaigns are logically run in a certain place in your organization, in which case we can help provide some thoughts and guidance of how to support that effort. In other organizations, that structure doesn't exist. So looking for you know, how you can use the messaging and the donation pages within your portal to support that as well. So we're looking, and as Allison mentioned on the resource page, there's a number of templates and ideas to get you started, but it could be that you just want to have a conversation about it and brainstorm what we've seen work, what could we try, and maybe even we can connect you with other clients that have found something that works well in that space.
Those are great suggestions. And the idea of clients connecting with clients is a great teaser into some of the exciting opportunities we will be launching later this year. So thank you for planting that seed, Courtney. I see one final question coming in, and I'm kind of envious of this individual who clearly is a planner, but they've asked about upcoming dates for those webinars that Courtney mentioned. I'll toss them out here. There will be some reminders coming up in communications, such as our relief brief, and then we will also have links available in upcoming emails. But please do mark your calendar. Our disaster webinar will be on June 20th. And then that fundraising webinar I just mentioned will specifically be October 23rd. Fortunately, somebody listening in the background got me the specific date. And those will always be in the afternoon so that if you're on the West Coast, you can still join us as well. In the interest of time, I'm going to say thank you for the questions. I'll thank Courtney once again for joining us. You're always welcome to email us or, again, reach out to your relationship partner with any additional thoughts you might have. Because we always enjoy a bit of engagement, we would love to know, results will not be surfaced, how likely you are to recommend E4E relief to a colleague. This is not something we will hold you to, but we do appreciate the opportunity to understand how well our partnership is working. This is also a preamble to an opportunity later this year where we will be sharing a client survey with you. We hope you will take the time, we won't make it too robust, to share your thoughts about our partnership, the relief that we're helping you deliver, and once again, your overall feeling about E4E. Wonderful. Thank you for those who participated in that. Now, a few reminders and next steps. As we illustrated for you last year, looking for the right word, E4E relief is on the road. We hope you'll join us along the path. Some of the dates that are here, we're only going through April. It's quite the busy spring. We are going to be in New York City and San Diego and apparently New York City again. We'll be pulling together in August and in April, excuse me, in Atlanta. And then this will lead us into many more events in May and June. Please, if you or any of your colleagues are attending these events, let us know. We'd love to say hello, whether it's somebody who should know about your program, whether it's just another representative who you'd like us to say hello to, whatever the nature is, we're happy to do that. We'll also make sure you're on the invite list if we have any events. The ABCs of program eligibility is something that we will invite you on the next slide to register for. This is new this year. As we announced, we are starting client sessions. Think mini webinar. So I'll get to that. So you can use this QR code to go ahead and register for the ABCs of program eligibility. On May 2nd, two of our operations leaders will be joining us to talk about the importance of your program parameters and ways that the operations team has been working with applicants to create a world-class experience. We'll have some information about documentation and other processing notes that will help you in turn also improve the applicant experience as we work side by side. If there are any questions or if you have questions you'd like answered in this session, please go ahead and share those on your registration so that we can incorporate that into the materials we create. As we near the top of the hour, I would love to say thank you. We are grateful for your partnership. We feel privileged to be delivering this relief around the globe. And we look forward to all of the ways that in the new year, we know we will work together. Final reminders are that Courtney and I are here along with our entire customer success team and the E4E relief team to answer questions, help your applicants with any requests that they have, and above all else, show up when people need it the most. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your partnership, and we look forward to seeing you soon.